Hi, this is Dana Gardner, Principal Analyst at Inner Arbor Solutions, and you're listening to Briefings Direct. Today, we present a sponsored podcast discussion examining a momentous shift in business strategy. Join us as we explore the impacts that big data, cloud computing, and mobility are having on how businesses must act and react in their markets. We'll see how the agility goal of real-time responses is really now no longer good enough. What's apparent across more business ecosystems is that businesses must do even better to become so data-driven that they extend their knowledge and ability to react well into the future. In other words, we're now all entering the era of the predictive business. To learn more about how heightened competition amid a data revolution requires businesses and IT leaders to adjust their thinking to the next and the next and the next moves on their respective chessboards. Now join me with our guest for today. We're here with Tim Minahan, the Chief Marketing Officer for SAP Cloud. Welcome, Tim.
Thanks for having me, Dana.
You know, it's hard to believe that the pace of business agility continues to accelerate. I'm wondering, Tim, what's driving this time crunch? What are some of the changes afoot that are requiring this need for, and then I think at the same time enabling the capabilities to deliver on this notion of predictive business? We're in some sort of a rapid cycle of cause and effect, and it's rather complicated.
Absolutely, Dana. I mean, this is certainly not your father's business environment. You know, big is no longer a guarantee of success. You know, if you just look at the past 10 years, 40% of the Fortune 500 was replaced. So the business techniques and principles that worked 10, 5, or even 3 years ago are no longer relevant. In fact, they may be a detriment to your business. I mean, just ask companies like Tower Records or Border Books or any of the dozens more Goliaths that were unable or unwilling to adapt to this new empowered customer or to adopt new business models that threatened long-held market structures and beliefs. I mean, the world, as you just said, is changing so unbelievably fast that the only constant, really, is change. And to survive, businesses must constantly innovate and adapt. I mean, just think about it. The customer today is now more connected and more empowered and more demanding. And you've got 1 billion people in social networks that are talking about your brand. In fact, I was just reading a recent study that showed that Fortune 100 companies were mentioned on social channels like Facebook and Twitter and LinkedIn a total of 10.5 million times in 1 month. So these comments are really shaping your brand image. They're influencing your customers' views and buying decisions and really empowering that next competitor. But the consumer, as you know, is also mobile. More than 15 billion mobile devices. There's actually now, scary, twice as many smartphones and tablets in use than there are people on the planet. And this is changing how we share information, how we shop, and the levels of service that customers expect today. It's also created, as you stated, a heck of a lot of data. More data was created in the last 18 months than has been created since the dawn of mankind. That's a frightening fact. And the amount of data on your company, on your consumer preferences, on buying trends, on you, will double again in the next 18 months. And the consumer is also changing. And we're seeing an emerging middle class of 5 billion consumers that are sprouting up in emerging markets around the world. And guess what? They're all unwired and connected in a mobile environment. But if this isn't challenging enough for your business, you have a whole new class of millennials that are entering the workforce. In fact, by next year, nearly half of the workforce will have been born after 1980, making me feel old. But these workers, you know, just grew up with the web. They're constantly mobile. They're workers that shun traditional business structures of command and control. You know, they feel that information should be free. They want to collaborate with each other, with their peers and partners and even competitors. And this is uncomfortable for many businesses, right? And this always on, always changing world, as you stated, real time just isn't enough anymore. Knowing in real time that your manufacturing plant went down and you won't be able to make the holiday shipping season is just knowing that far too late. Or knowing that your top customer just defected to your chief competitor in real time is knowing that far too late, or even learning that your new SVP of sales, who looks so great on paper, is an awful fit with your corporate culture or your go-to-market strategy, is just knowing that far too late. But to your point, what disrupts can also be the new advantage. So technology, cloud, social, big data, mobile are all changing the face of business and personal interactions. And the objective, the need, is to exploit them, not to be disrupted by them.
And what's interesting, Tim, is that the tools and best practices that you might use to better understand your external world, your market, your supply chain, your ecosystem of partners, is also being applied internally. So these are issues that are affecting companies, how they operate internally, organizationally, managing their staff, their employees, and how they're working differently. But at the same time, we have this outward facing. So another dimension of complexity here is that you not only have to change the way you are operating vis-a-vis your employees, but your customers, partners, supply chain, and so forth. How does the predictive business, I suppose, create a whole greater than the sum of the parts when we think about this almost total shift?
Yeah, absolutely, Dana. You know, too often we get enamored with the technology side of the story, but you know, the biggest change that's going to occur in business is going to be the culture change, right? The need to adapt to these new working edicts, right? This new millennial workforce, the need to adapt to this new empowered customer, the need to reach this new emerging middle class around the world. So in today's, you know, fast-paced business world, companies really need to be able to predict the future with confidence, assess the right response, and then have this agility, both organizationally and systems-wise, to quickly adapt their business processes, to capitalize on these market dynamics, and stay ahead of the competition. So, you know, they need to be able to actually harness the insight of the disruptive technologies of our day, technologies like social and business networks, mobility and cloud, to become this predictive business. But to be clear, you know, I want to be clear here that the predictive business is not just about advanced analytics. It's not just about big data. That's certainly a part of it. But just knowing something is going to happen, just knowing about a market opportunity or a pending risk just isn't enough. You have to have that capacity and insight to assess a myriad of scenarios to detect the right course of action, and then have the agility in your business processes and your organizational structures and your systems to be able to adapt, to capitalize on these changes.
Yeah. And Tim, you and I have been talking for several years now about the impact of cloud. And we were also trying to be predictive ourselves and to extrapolate and figure out where this was going. I think it turns out it's been even more impactful than we thought. How does the notion of having a cloud partner, not maybe only your own cloud, but a hybrid or public cloud environment, where the agility comes from working with a new type of delivery model, even a whole new type of IT model?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we're seeing the impact of cloud. You probably, you know, heard a lot about it. You've been tracking it for years, and the original discussion was all about TCO, right? It was all about the total cost of ownership benefits of the cloud. And while the cloud certainly offers a cost advantage, that real benefit of the cloud brings to business is in two flavors, right? It is in the form of innovation and agility. You're seeing rapid innovation cycles, albeit incremental innovation updates several times per year that are much more digestible for a company. So they can see something coming, be able to request an innovation update, and have their partner, their technology partner, adapt and deliver new functionality several times a year that's immediately available to everyone. They have the agility at the business level now to configure new business processes without costly IT or consulting engagements. And certainly with some of the more advanced cloud platforms, they can even create their own process extensions to meet the unique needs of their, you know, their industry and their business.
Sure. You know, it's also, I think, a little bit of a return to the past when we think about that culture and the process I think it's been, 20 years plus that people started talking about re-engineering their business processes to accommodate technology. And now the technology is accelerated to such a degree that we can actually perhaps start really making progress on productivity and quality vis-a-vis these new approaches. So without going too far into the past, how is the notion of business transformation being now delivered when we think about being predictive, using these technology tools, different delivery models, and even different cultures?
Yeah. I mean, you're already seeing examples of the predictive business in action across industries today. Leading companies are turning that combination of insight, right, the big data, analytics, and these agile computing models and agile organizational structures into entirely new business models and competitive advantage. And let's just look at some of the examples that are before us. Look at Cisco, where they're strategic marketing organization not only mined historical data around what prompted people to buy, what they bought, what were their profiles, but also married that with real-time social media mentions to look for customers, to ferret out customers who revealed a propensity to buy and a high readiness to buy, and then armed their sales team, pushed these signals out to their sales force, and recommended the right offer that would likely convert that customer to buy. And now, that had a massive impact. They saw a sales uplift of more than $4 billion by bringing all of those activities together. And it's not just in the high tech sector. I know we talk about that a lot, but other industries like healthcare. You've got Mount Sinai Hospital in New York that examined the historical treatment approaches and the survival rates and the stay duration of its hospitals to determine the right treatments to optimize care and throughput of patients. So it constantly runs and adapts simulations to optimize its patients' first 8 to 12 hours in the hospital. And with improved utilization on based on those insights and the ability to adapt how they're handling their patients, the hospital not only improved patient health and survival rates, but it also achieved a financial effect of adding hundreds of new beds without physically adding one. In fact, if you look at it, I mean, the whole medical industry is really built on a predictive business model using the symptoms of millions of patients to diagnose new patients and to determine the right courses of action. Now, closer to home for you, Dana, there's also an example of the predictive business. I don't know if you've read, Nate Silver's phenomenal book on The Signal and the Noise, but he talks about going beyond Moneyball and how the Boston Red Sox were using a predictive system that really has changed how baseball drafts rookie players. The difference between Moneyball and rookies is that rookies don't have a record in the pros. There's no basis on which to determine, what their on-base percentage will be or how they'll perform. But this predictive model goes beyond standard statistics here and basically takes a look at similar attributes of other players, other professional players, to determine who are the right candidates that they should be recruiting and projecting what their performance might be based on a composite of other players that had like attributes. And their first example of this was with Dustin Pedroia there on the Red Sox, who no one wanted to recruit. They said he was too short, too slow, not the right candidate to play second base. But using this new model, the Red Sox modeled him against previous players and found out, some of the best second basemen in the world actually had similar attributes to him. So they wound up taking him early in the draft. The first year, he took the Rookie of the Year title and helped the Red Sox win the World Series, for only the second time since 1918. And, he's gone on to win the MVP the following year and has been a top all-star performer ever since. So all around us, businesses are beginning to adapt and take advantage of these predictive business models.
Right. It's curious that when you do take a data-driven approach, you have to give up some of the older approaches around intuition, gut instinct, or some of the metrics that used to be important. it really requires you to change your thinking, and rather than go to the, you know, highest paid person's opinion when you need to make a decision, it's really now becoming more of a science. And so what do you get, Tim, when you do this correctly? We know the Red Sox, they got to win a World Series, and they've been able to have a very strong club much more consistently than in the past. But what do businesses get when they become more data-driven, when they adjust their culture, take advantage of some of the new tools, recognize the shift in consumer behavior? How impactful can this be?
It can be tremendously impactful. I mean, we see, you know, we truly believe that the you get a whole new world of business, right? You get a business model and organizational and systems infrastructure that has the ability to adapt to all the massive transformations and rapid changes that we discussed earlier. You think about it, the predictive business, we believe it will transform every function within the enterprise and across the value chain. Just think of sales and marketing. Sales and marketing professionals, as we just talked about with Cisco, will now be empowered to engage customers like never before by tapping into social activity and buying activity on business networks and geolocation insight to identify prospects and develop optimal offers and engage and influence prospective customers right at the point of purchase. I think of, you know, pushing offers and coupons to mobile devices of prospective buyers based on their social fingerprint and their their actual physical location, or service organizations. We talk about this Internet of Things. Really, they can massively, we haven't even scratched the surface on this, but they can massively drive customer satisfaction and loyalty to new levels by predicting and proactively resolving potential product or service disruptions even before they happen, right? So think about, you know, your device being able to send a signal and it demonstrating a propensity to break down in the future, and maybe even being able to send a firmware update to fix it without you even knowing. That's the power of that. We're already seeing this type of thing in the supply chain. Procurement, logistics, and supply chain teams are now being alerted to potential future risks in their sub-tier supply chains and being guided to alternative suppliers based on optimal resolutions and community generated ratings and buying patterns of other like buyers that are going on business networks. And I know we've talked about that in the past. So we really believe the future of business is the predictive business. The predictive business is not really going to be an option going forward. It's not a luxury. It'll be what's required not only to win, but eventually to survive. You know, your customers are demanding it, your employees are requiring it, and your livelihood's going to depend on it.
Right. We're also, I suppose, seeing instances where newer companies, upstarts, enter markets, and because they're not encumbered by past practices, using some of these newer tools can actually make a tremendous amount of headway. Tesla Motors comes to mind as one reflection of that. Netflix is another that shows how disruptive a company can be in a short term. But we're not just talking about greenfield companies. We're talking about the need for entrenched, global enterprises to be able to move quickly to change, to adapt to some of these attributes of pain, but also opportunities for transformation. Any thoughts before we begin to close out, Tim, on how big companies that have so much complexity, so many moving parts, how they can start to evolve, to be predictive and to frankly be ready for some serious competition?
Right. Well, you know, number one is you can't have the fear of change. You need to set that aside. Like we talked about at the outset of this call, change is all around us, whether it's externally with the new empowered consumer who's more informed and connected than ever before, or internally with a new millennial workforce that's eager to look at new organizational structures and processes and collaborate more, not just with other employees, but their peers and even competitors in new ways. So that's number one and probably the hardest thing. But on top of that, you know, again, this isn't just a single technology solve, right? You need to be able to embrace a lot of the new technologies out there. And when we look at what are the attributes of an enabling platform for the predictive business, it really comes down to a few key areas, right? You need the convenience and the agility of the cloud and improved IT resources and acquisition and use, basically everything as a service, apps and infrastructure and platform. So you can dial up the capabilities or the processing power, or the resources you need. And as we discussed, quickly configure and adapt your business processes at the business level without massive IT or consulting engagements. And then have the agility to use some of these new age cloud platforms to, you know, to create your own and differentiated business processes and business applications. The second thing you need, and we touched on this briefly, but it's critically important to gather those new insights and connectivity, not just from social networks, but from business networks, you know, with new rich data sources from real-time market and customer sentiment through social listening and analytics to countless bits and histories of transactional and relationship data available on robust business networks. And then to manage all of this, you also need to advance your analytical capabilities. You need the power and speed of big data and in-memory analytics platforms and exploiting new architectures, you know, like Hadoop and others to enable companies to aggregate and correlate and assess just countless bits of information that are available today and doubling every 18 months to assess multiple scenarios and determine the best course of action faster, you know, than ever before. And then ultimately, as we talked about, one of the major transformational shifts, which also is a big opportunity, you need to be able to access and deliver with ease all of this information to mobile devices, right? Whether it's your employees who can engage in a process and get insights where they are in the field, or whether it's your customers who you need to reach, you know, either across the street or halfway around the globe. So the whole here is greater than the sum of the parts. You know, so big data alone is not enough. Cloud alone is not enough. You need all of these enabling technologies working together and leveraging each other. So the next generation business architecture must marry all of these capabilities to really drive this predictive business.
Right. So clearly at SAP Cloud, you've been giving this a lot of thought, and I think you appreciate the large dimension of this, but also the daunting complexity that's facing many companies. So I hope in our next discussion, Tim, we can talk a little bit about some of the ideas you have about what the next generation of a business services platform and an agility capability that gets you into that predictive mode would be. Maybe you could just give us a sense very quickly about, you know, the direction and role that an organization like SAP Cloud would play.
Yeah, absolutely, Dana. I mean, SAP, as you know, has had a history of helping business to continually innovate and drive this next wave of productivity and unlock new value and advantage for the business. And, you know, the company is certainly building to be this enabling platform and partner for this next wave of business. You know, it's making the right moves, both organically and otherwise, to enable the predictive business. So if you think about the foundation we just went through and then marry up against where SAP has invested and innovated, it's now the leading cloud provider for businesses, with more business professionals using cloud solutions from SAP than from any other vendor. It's left far ahead in the world of analytics and performance with the next generation in-memory platform in HANA. It's the leader in mobile business solutions and social business collaboration with Jam. And as we discussed in the past, right here on your show, you know, it now owns the world's largest and most global business network with the acquisition of Ariba. So that's, you know, more than 1.2 million connected companies transacting over $500 billion worth of commerce, and a new company joining every 2 minutes to engage, connect, get more informed, and better collaborate. So we're very, very excited about the promise of the predictive business and SAP's ability to deliver and innovate on the platform to enable it.
Well, great. I'm afraid we'll have to leave it there, but I do expect we'll be revisiting this topic of the predictive business for quite some time. You've been listening to a sponsored Briefings Direct podcast discussion on this momentous shift in business strategy to the agility required to become a predictive business. And we've heard how the business goal of real-time responses is really no longer good enough. And we can begin to now chart a course to a better evidence-based insights capability that will allow companies to proactively shape their business goals and align their resources to gain huge advantages first and foremost in their industry. So with that all, please join me in welcoming our guest. We will be listening to Tim Minahan, the Chief Marketing Officer for SAP Cloud. Thanks so much, Tim.
Thanks, Dan. It's been great to be here.
And I'd like to also thank our audience for joining us. This is Dana Gardner, Principal Analyst at Inter Arbor Solutions. Thanks again for coming, and do come back next time.